Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Andrew Ristvey, University of Maryland Extension. This talk is a summary of a paper written by the co-authors there, and with a Herculean effort of Warren Copes, we got this thing published in Hort Science this past spring. This is an offshoot to some data mining from research and data collection that we did with the SCRI PATH project. Dr. Xuan Hong from Virginia Tech led this particular project. Its focus was investigating water quality in recycling containment basins for different water quality parameters like dissolved plant nutrients, DO, oxidative reduction potential, electrical conductivity, other parameters that actually have an effect on the survival of plant pathogens, in particular Phytophthora. Our objectives were to evaluate patterns in this particular monthly study, evaluate patterns of dissolved nutrients, pH, electrical conductivity, and alkalinity in Mid-Atlantic and Southern State Nursery recycle containment basins used for irrigation water. And this is all during the growing season when these basins are subject to high nutrient loading. Our main questions were, how do these monthly water quality parameters and these RCBs compared to the criteria for irrigation a water used for ornamental plant production, the IPP, and how do these water quality parameters compare to regional U.S. EPA standards for open water habitats? Now, if you notice right here, the IPP criteria range, the nitrate, total phosphorus in particular, these are relatively high values. I'll talk to you about how they were actually seen in these irrigation ponds and whether these irrigation ponds or recycling basins actually passed this IPP criteria or not. And in the same light with these EPA standards for Region 9 and Region 14, you can see quite a bit of difference between what's okay for plants and what's okay for general water quality. So what we did was we tested and sampled nine basins in ornamental nursery operations in Maryland. There are two in Maryland, MD1 and MD2. That signifies the nursery. Virginia 1 and Virginia 2, and one nursery in Mississippi. And then there was a Virginia stream that was sampled for comparison. These recycled basins were designated as MD11 and MD21, Mississippi 11. There was Virginia 11, 12, 13, and Virginia 21, 22. That should say 22, and 23. And then Virginia 110, or should I say 10, was that stream. The function and spatial relations of these sampling sites are as follows. For the two Maryland ponds, it was a single pond which received runoff directly and was used for irrigation. Mississippi ponds, the Mississippi Pond 11, VA 11, and VA 21, they were ponds that received runoff directly, and water was then transferred over to a second pond for VA 12, which was used directly for irrigation. VA 13 was an overflow pond for VA 12, which was either opened through a spill gate or closed. In the case of Virginia 13, it received waters from Virginia 21 and Virginia 22. Virginia 21 received runoff directly. 22 did not. It was a settling basin. For 2-3, which was the irrigation pond. And then, of course, the Virginia 10 or 10 was the stream. These nurseries either used slow-release fertilizers that were incorporated into media, except for Virginia, or the second nursery in Virginia, Virginia 2, where slow-release fertilizer was top-dressed. And all nurseries top-dressed and had liquid feed program except for Maryland 1 and Mississippi 1. Samples were collected between 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. monthly between February and July 2013, approximately the same day, within a few days of each other in all of these nurseries. Warren, being down in Mississippi, also sampled the Mississippi containment basin through October. Our samples were basically taken in 3 points around a sawn buoy between 10 and 30 centimeters in depth, equidistant around that sawn buoy. They were sample was a liter in volume, and two 100 milliliter aliquots were taken from those liter volumes, placed in vials. One of those vials was preserved with 20 microliters of sulfuric acid, and then both of those vials were frozen. The sulfuric acid was to preserve the nitrogen in that sample. Samples were sent to the University of Delaware Soils Lab for analysis, and these are the different parameters we analyzed, basically a general water quality test. The levels of the parameters were used to evaluate the recycling basins based on this IPP quality standard and the lake and reservoir ambient water quality standards for Region 9 and Region 14. So you see Mississippi 1, Maryland 2, and Virginia 2 were in the E9 region, and Maryland 1 and Virginia 1 were in the 14 region. So temporal assessments are analyzed using analysis of variance with repeated measures. Fixed factors were the basin, month, and their interactions, and the random variable was subsamples. The repeated measure covariance structure was individually determined for each of the 18 response variables in each analysis by evaluating treatment variances, mean patterns, and the time period covariance structure. A slice function was used to compare the means between times within nursery and between nurseries within each time. The null hypothesis was that all parameters were equal, and we used a multiple comparison adjustment of least squared means, that would be Tukey's. Data analysis was performed separately on Mississippi 1, because we went into October with this. It was a completely different data set. Couldn't necessarily compare it very well with the other data sets. The months that weren't sampled in all the other containment basins, if there were just treated as missing data. So the differences that we found with the parameters, main effects go, the differences occurred in at least 1 month between all RCVs for all water quality standard parameters. Differences occurred in at least one RCV between months for most water quality standards, with significant interactions between RCV and month for all water quality values, except for copper. The largest number of monthly differences between water quality values occurred in Maryland's 2-1, Mississippi's and VA's first pond, and Virginia's Virginia 1-2. The least number of monthly differences between water quality values occurred in that stream in Virginia and in Virginia 2-1. So in most cases, water quality within all RCVs did not exceed the IPP criteria, except for VA 1-1, which exceeded nitrogen and phosphorus in April, May, and June. And that's total phosphorus. And Virginia 1-2 also exceeded IPP criteria for nitrogen and total phosphorus in June and July. Water quality within these RCBs exceeded the Region 9 and 14 EPA criteria for nitrogen and phosphorus parameters most months during the sampling period, except for MD11, which never exceeded the 14th ecoregion criteria for nitrogen, And nitrate levels never exceeded many of the RCBs throughout the sampling period, and for that stream. The nitrate levels exceeded many of the RCBs throughout this whole testing period, meaning that this stream actually had relatively high nitrate levels compared to these runoff basins, which was rather surprising. They figure that it was because of that there were local farms and groundwater nitrate infiltration into the stream, and exceeded the E14 criteria, and it was always just below the IPP criteria. And during most of that sampling period, the phosphate levels, the total phosphorus levels, never exceeded E14 criteria, but not the IPP criteria. So macronutrient parameters were generally consistent for RCBs. Our changes were small. However, in MD11, calcium, potassium, and sulfate fluctuated asynchronously with nitrogen and phosphate samples, total phos samples, I'm sorry. And in MD21, VA11, and VA12, calcium, potassium, magnesium, and sulfur fluctuated synchronously with nitrogen and total phosphorus samples or parameters. Micronutrients, aluminum, boron, copper, iron, manganese, and zinc were relatively consistent over all sampling periods in all the RCBs, with some notable differences between RCBs. Some statistical differences existed for some micronutrient levels throughout the sampling period within each RCB, which is expected. pH remained at or above 7.5 for most sampling times and dates for Maryland 1-1 and 2-1 and Mississippi 1-1. And there were always at or above 7 for the stream and for Virginia 1-1 and Virginia 1-2, and were mostly above 7.5 in Virginia 1-3, Virginia 2-1, 2-2, and 2-3. And what was interesting is that these are, since we're sampling these at the same time during each day, that's not unexpected. However, we did do daily or hourly samples every couple months, and we noticed that these pH values would fluctuate quite a bit, and it was really associated with the dissolved oxygen levels. Single monthly sampling times may mask this diurnal pH fluctuations, which are known to exist in these containment basins, and it's associated with phytoplankton activity. Total alkalinity was relatively consistent over these sampling times, with differences occurring between RCBs, but within the RCBs, these alkalinity levels pretty much stayed the same, except for Maryland 1. In most cases, the ecoregion criteria were exceeded in all parameters. Some severe cases, the IPP criteria was exceeded. And common patterns of change and fluctuations of measured parameters in each RCB are probably related to seasonal release of nutrients from the fertilizer use and runoff from rainfall. And the dynamic nature and quality of these variables undoubtedly add to some of the seemingly erratic monthly changes that occurred. You'd notice in these particular graphics, which I did not utilize in this talk, being influenced, of course, by hydrological, geological, biological, and meteorological conditions, thus making any simple explanations rather inappropriate without more extensive sampling. Research also shows that plant pathogen survival and dispersal in these containment basins is very much influenced by water quality. That was shown by a lot of research with the PATH SCRI program. The low electrical conductivity levels typical of these basins is unfavorable for plant pathogenic phytophthora. Because phytophthora vary in their preference to pH, the potential which phytophthora survives could vary in each one of these containment basins. Monitoring and implementation of known management strategies could minimize algal blooms and maintain an ecologically healthier water environment. While in some cases the measured water quality exceeded the IPP criteria, there was no impact in plant quality. Despite water quality levels in these RCBs being favorable for irrigating plants, total phosphorus levels and total nitrogen levels occasionally were greater than, more than occasionally were greater than US EPA criteria, therefore likely favorable for the development of algal blooms. Monitoring and implementation of best management practices could minimize these algal blooms and maintain an ecologically healthier water environment, if chosen by the nursery. Any questions? Do I have time?
We don't have time for questions right now.
I'll stick around, all right?
There may be some time later on.
All right, thank you very much.